Hey everyone, I hope you're all having a good day today. This is Liam Unfiltered, episode 135, which is executive produced by Sezzler Cube, Star K, and Eric Schussler. Thank you again for your support. I'm Liam, as you would expect from a podcast named that. And on the 135th episode of this show, I'm going to talk about a bunch of different things today. And I'm going to do it alone because I don't have anyone with me. This is just kind of going to be a, you know, I'm going to go over some of my video plans that I've started to map out. There are a few things that I want to talk about, some topics that I thought might be interesting to discuss. I guess we'll just dive right in with the video stuff, you know, right off the top of the show. A couple of days ago, I put out a poll on Patreon to help me determine what the next videos I do will be. Now, I always work on multiple things at a time, so I haven't absolutely decided which of these I'm going to do immediately next, and the one I do immediately next might not even be one of these, but this is, you know, these are ones that I plan to do with over the next year. That's the general idea. And so I imagine at the start of next year, we'll do another poll and we'll see whoever, you know, assuming I'm still doing Patreon then, which of you, you know, how many of you want certain things, you know? Because ultimately, although I decide, I have final say over things, I do like to get you guys in the mix and hear what you are most interested in learning more about. And then I can go and dig into that for you. And hopefully that works out for both of us, you know, because all of these are subjects that I've already chosen myself that I'm interested in and I think would make interesting videos. And then it's kind of fun to, you know, see how much demand there is, see what you guys think and that type of thing. So if you've commented on this post, if you voted, huge thank you to you. Really appreciate your support and your interaction with my content. It's all really cool, you know, doing this. So yeah, I did a poll with, I think, 7 different options, quite a wide range of topics, console games and rise and falls of different projects and that type of thing. And the poll is still open. So if you want to vote and you haven't already, You can vote on multiple options, but I would encourage you to only click on the ones that you are actually intending to watch, you know, you're definitely interested in. For some people, that will be all of them, okay? Tick all of them, but please genuinely only tick the ones that you're really interested in, because that helps me hone in on what I should be doing. So, the top choices we've got so far are, I think, about neck and neck with about the same amount of votes. The top choices are somewhat surprising to me. I have to say at least one of them is. 2 of them I thought would be up there. So they're not too surprising. But here are the top 3 choices so far. Neck and neck, I think, with the same amount of votes. About 9 votes each, I think. So we've got the rise and fall of the Marvel's Avengers game, which is the one by Square Enix that came out a few years ago, which I've been researching. You guys know that. It's a project that I kept a relatively close eye on to an extent. I've played through the main campaign and some of the Warzone stuff. So I own the game. I played through it. I've got opinions on it. I didn't like it that much. Like it's, I don't think it's as bad as some people make it out to be. Like, it wasn't an abject failure. I think there's some good parts of it, and there are qualities to it. I like how many unique characters there are. Other characters, from what I can remember, play pretty differently. Some of them can fly around. Some of them are more brawly. Some of them are projectile-based. But anyway, the game had a pretty dramatic rise and fall of a lot of hype initially, and then people found out about how it's this grindy live service thing. And then behind the scenes, there were a lot of parts of it that were cancelled. There was going to be more add-ons to it and that type of thing. So what this would focus on is the run-up to launch, the development, and then I think a significant portion of the video would be devoted to the post-launch development period and all the turmoil that followed that. I've heard a lot about that stuff from people. A friend of mine has researched this quite extensively, and I imagine he would be a big part of the video as well. I think I'll keep that, you know, who that is, close to my chest just for now. But I've spoken to them and they want to do the video. So I imagine this for me is a front runner, like you guys. I really want to do this. So I think given that this is a popular answer, I want to start researching that soon and maybe doing that. The other two, which were neck and neck, this one surprised me. I didn't honestly think there would be that much interest in me doing this, but there is an option that I put there for Fable Legends and the closure of Lionhead. Lionhead, of course, made the Fable games from the 2000s into the mid-2010s. I think Fable Legends got cancelled around 2016 or 17, somewhere around then. And I've actually already done some research into this myself. I've spoken to people who worked on the game. A lot of that is very public. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting kind of factors in the development of this game. And I think, honestly, the impression I get is that people there were surprised that it was cancelled. It was not something that they saw coming. They thought that the game was coming along well, is my understanding. But around that time, Microsoft decided to clean house and, yeah, they closed Lionhead down and everything. And I'm really shocked that they did that still. I still, for now, I obviously not played it, but I actually think putting Playground, is that the name of the company? The people who made Forza Horizon. I think putting them in charge of a Fable game, when, you know, because they are based in the UK. They've done Forza Horizon 4, which is a really cool representation of England. I think setting, you know, getting developers from the UK, like Playground, a team that has a lot of pedigree, I think that's quite an inspired choice, and I'm interested to see what they do. But I do think they should have kept Lionhead around. I don't think there's any excuse to close them. And it was quite a drastic measure to take. And I think even Microsoft themselves didn't know that this was going to happen. I think it was a decision made quite abruptly because they literally released, and I have it on my shelf behind me, you can get an art book of Fable Legends. It's a game that never came out. It was kind of like an online Fable game that some people were able to play. Some people in the public were able to play this game. And so I know people who've played it. I did not play it myself, but I know people who were in the private beta because they had a closed beta where some members of the public who were like Xbox, you know, diehards could get into it. And everyone I've spoken to enjoyed it, thought it was cool. And so, yeah, they have this art book and I have it behind me. And the way it's written, for the most part, it doesn't seem like there's any expectation at all that it was going to get cancelled. And I'm going to mention this in the video if we do it, which I more than likely will do, hopefully this year. I've gone through it, and there is, I think, a blurb or something in the back or the front that sort of alludes to the fact that the game was cancelled. Because I think what must have happened was they were so far along with this art book, and they didn't know the game was going to get cancelled. And the art books had sort of gone through production. They were finished. And they were meant to come out around the time of the game. But after like the production had started, Microsoft was like, well, this book is done. We'll let the developers release it, but we're cancelling the game. And so sometime around when the game was cancelled, the art book came out. Or maybe, I'm not sure of the exact timeline, but it was around when the game was meant to come out. The art book released, and there's almost no allusion to the fact that the game was cancelled in the book. I think there is one single mention of it, and it kind of talks about it in like an innuendo sense. Like it's like, it says something like, despite the fate of the game, we're very proud of the work we did in it. And it's very weird. It's a very weird artifact. I think you can still buy it. I have it behind me on my shelf, as I mentioned, and it's a very nice art book. A lot of cool work, a lot of beautiful art that went into the making of this game. The art design was impeccable. And yeah, it seems like everyone who worked on it has fond memories. And I don't know, it's just strange. Everything I've heard about the game was positive. Everything I've heard from the people who worked on it, they seem to enjoy it. So it seems like there's a certain mystery to untangle as to why, you know, Microsoft saw the need to do this, to cancel the game. It seems to me that it was just like a cold business decision, that they saw the overhead that was going to Lionhead, and they thought, you know, we don't need this expenditure. We need to cut something for some reason. And then they fired them. And I think it's very similar. It might be a very similar story to what has just happened at Activision Blizzard, where they laid off nearly 2,000 people after just buying them, which is obviously horrible. And so my expectation is that at some point I'm going to be talking about all this in videos. That's what I hope I'm doing. That's what I want to be doing. I want to talk about the Activision Blizzard layoffs in the form of a documentary. I want to talk about the Fablehead closure and everything, because it seems like there is a wider picture with these layoffs and Microsoft that maybe I'm not seeing, but I want to learn more about it. I want to learn more about how they operate and why this shit might have happened. So there's that. I want to do that. I think of all these projects, the Fable one would probably be the most doable one. So I'm going to think about when I'm going to do that. The ones that I can honestly think about, I think that I'm most sort of interested in doing are the Avengers one. But it is going to take quite a long time to do it. I'm not sure how long it would take me, because I haven't really started researching it all that much. I've heard bits and pieces here and there. I've spoken to people. I have a friend who, you know, knows everything about it and can tell me a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. But I need to start making headway with research into that. With Fable Legends, I think that would be much more doable, because I have footage from the private beta, which has never been revealed before. I have a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff. And the developers, I think, have been let off their NDAs so they can talk about it, I think. So there's a lot to go into there. And I do think that would make a good video, and nobody's really done that yet. So I do want to do that at some point. But yeah, I can only stretch myself so thin. And I have been thinking a little bit about, you know, what do I really want to focus on? Is it videos or podcasts in the new year? And I have considered maybe, you know, switching the way I do things around and doing less podcasts and more videos, or vice versa. Because it's very difficult to keep all those plates spinning at once. I am trying my best, but, you know, on top of only having limited time, I have a disability, and concentrating on shit like this and keeping everything going is difficult for me. Especially when I get so engrossed in this research, I forget about everything else going on, and I forget to do podcasts. Organizing all this shit is not my strong suit, so I might consider cutting back on podcasts or doing more videos or something like that. I haven't really committed to doing either way so far. My idea is, you know, I do want to keep doing podcasts, but it does take up a lot of time that could be spent researching stuff. Let me know what you guys think. Like, do you follow this to support my videos, to see my videos, or is it more for podcasts? I would like you guys to tell me. And maybe in the future I will do a poll to help me determine what to do there, because I'm really unsure. I would, I think, keep doing at least some podcasts, but I think if I could focus on getting more videos out, that might be more beneficial in the long term and more kind of creatively rewarding if I can get more stuff done, because making podcasts all the time definitely does hinder my ability to make more than a few videos a year, especially as my videos get longer and longer, as they have been doing. Anyway, though, that aside, the other top option, which you guys voted on, is Project Hammer. Now, some of you may remember that nearly a decade ago, I did do a video on Project Hammer. And Project Hammer was essentially this cancelled first-party Nintendo project by a Nintendo subsidiary in Redmond, Washington, called Nintendo Software Technology. And it turned out that this project was horribly mismanaged, from what I remember. They kept firing the people in charge of it and replacing them, bringing in lots of different people. I think at one point, Masamichi Abe, he was someone who worked on Pikmin, he was put in charge of it. Kensuke Tanabe of Metroid Prime fame was in charge of it. Miyamoto had some overseeing of it as well, a little bit. He was involved in kind of managing the financials, if I remember right. So a lot of different people touched this project, and it kept going for years and years, and ultimately got cancelled. And it was a giant mess. They wasted a bunch of money. And it led to, I think, Nintendo Software Technology kind of being relegated from being this first-party studio that made big things like Retro Studios did, to being like just a kind of a support studio for quite a long time. And really making F-Zero 99 is one of the only big things they've done in recent memory. Seeing them doing a new game like F-Zero 99, which is really cool and original, I was happy to see that. And so that might make a nice, you know, addendum to the video that, you know, adds a little bit of a positive ending to it, I guess. But on this subject, I'm going to come back to Project Hammer in a moment, but on this subject, I had a comment from someone on the poll talking about this subject of positivity and negativity. And I thought I could address it because I thought it was an unusual comment. I don't normally get comments like this because normally people encourage me to do the opposite of what this person said. But this comment comes from someone called Ben Malsky. It says, "Liam, I hope you have something planned that has a positive attitude and it's not all just about collapses, cancellations, and controversies you want to talk about." Which is an interesting thing to say, because I don't think any of my videos are inherently negative or positive. I see all my videos as completely neutral in their approach. I don't see myself as having any agenda. I go into everything with like a blank slate. I treat it pretty much the same. And if you look back on the videos I've done over the past few years, I don't agree that there's any kind of positive or negative slant to them whatsoever. Like, let's go back over my previous videos. Biggest video game leaks. Is there a positive or negative slant to that? No, there isn't. It's just me going over some leaks. Here's what I found out about them. Sonic R's unexpected development. I would say there's a mixture of positive and negative aspects to that, you know? Most of it, I would say, is me kind of going over the history and being like, look, it's kind of like a miracle that they made this game in less than a year. But also, the way it was managed led to some people being quite unhappy, such as the guy who directed the game, who had his name taken off the credits. The previous video from that was the Christmas Tinder video, which is just silly fun. I don't think that's positive or negative either. The WiiWare video, I would say that's more positive, because that is kind of me talking about the history of Sonic games, this console game they had, and kind of the unfortunate circumstances that stopped it from coming true. But ultimately, Sonic was able to make games regardless, and they were able to release some of the stuff they worked on back then. And then before that, the previous one before that is the Pageboy video. And I don't think that is positive. Sorry, that is negative at all. And so to say that, oh, my videos are negative or anything like that, that it's all about cancellations and controversies or collapses or whatever, if you look back through my videos, is not true. I have covered a lot of cancellations and that type of thing, because that is my bread and butter. That is what I've always done. That's what I've specialized in my writing and everything. But I don't think I come to any of that from an inherently negative or positive place. I just want to find out the truth, and I present the truth as I see it. And it isn't because I have an agenda or an axe to grind or anything like that. There are certainly thoughts that I could have going into them. That's definitely true. And if I find something negative, it may want me to, you know, I will present that. But there's no agenda there. There's no, I'm not doing it for the sake of stirring up controversy or clicks or anything like that. I don't come at something like this from a negative slant. I want it all to be factual and interesting, regardless of what it is. But at the same time, I'm not going to be just sort of, you know, positive in a completely empty and forced way. I'm going to find what I'm going to find. I'm going to tell you the truth. That is what my content is all about. And if you find that to not be positive enough, then I'm sorry. I bring you the truth. That's what I try to do when I do these videos. And if for whatever reason, like, that's too negative for you, I'm sorry. It's just the real world, you know? A lot of people lose jobs, projects get cancelled. That's the games industry. And I think I would be doing myself and you guys a disservice if I covered that up, if I pretended that wasn't what was happening out there, if that wasn't the reality on the ground, if I just said to you, if each video I did was, hey, look at how great this game is and that type of thing. No, I'm going to do things that I think are interesting and people want to learn about and people should learn about that are important. Stuff about layoffs and cancellations, sometimes that falls under that. And so that's what I'm going to continue to do. I will not do anything inherently positive or negative. I pursue what I think is interesting and important to cover. And sometimes that's going to be crime. Sometimes that's going to be cancellations and controversies and collapses. Some of the time it's just, hey, look at this interesting thing they did during the game, to the development of the game, to make it work or something. Which is what I did with Sonic R. And yeah, to me, I think just the truth, it comes in all different shapes and sizes, you know, positive and negative. And I present both. And you're never going to see me try to push one way or another to force a story to be what it is. And I'm just going to show you what it is. That's what I try to do. So that's what I think about that. But with Project Hammer, I've already done it before, but I've not really done the video with the definitive account of what I think happens that gets more into detail. And I actually have some more stuff of the game I could show and that type of thing. There's definitely, I think I might have made some mistakes in my original video, or I wasn't quite detailed enough, you know, like I didn't. There are some things, if I did that video now, I would do differently. Not necessarily factual errors, I would say, but things that upon rewatching it over the past year, I've watched it, I remember once. I remember looking back and thinking, that kind of misrepresents what happened there. It was a bit more nuanced than that. And I think I've become a little bit more nuanced in my portrayal of events since then. I used to go for, you know, what I felt was interesting and attention grabbing to some degree back then, and since then I've tried to, you know, be more nuanced, try to represent more perspectives and that type of thing. And I think some of those accounts might have been a bit more one-sided, and I would like to represent some more of the development team were I to tackle this subject again. So I am strongly considering this. Of the three of the ones I've mentioned, I'm probably least interested in doing this, but I would like to do this video for Did You Know Gaming. I think it would be cool to have a long form video just on Project Hammer with the definitive account and try to get more people to come forward and talk about it, because it's been so long. I think more people might be willing to talk about it. I've tried to get people to come on the record about what happened with this game, and people won't, and that's a shame, but, you know, what else can I do? I've tried my best. I can't tie them up and make them talk. I can only do so much. But, you know, moving along from that, those are kind of the top three options and should give you some ideas of what to expect. I'll update you guys in the near future of, like, what exactly I'm going to do in the immediate future as the next video. I'm currently planning that right now, currently determining it. But there's an interesting story floating around today that I thought I would mention, which is to do with Donkey Kong Switch rumors. You know, there's always been this sort of idea, this rumor going around that Nintendo or someone else is working on a new Donkey Kong game. I've heard some stuff, you know, just very rumory stuff that I was never entirely confident in, you know. Sometimes you hear things. I remember hearing a while ago, there was this rumor of a 2D Donkey Kong. Some other people were saying, no, it's a 3D one. And I didn't know what to think. I think only one person, and it was just a second-hand person, second-hand source said, oh yeah, there's like a 2D Donkey Kong at Nintendo. And that's as far as it went for me. But there's always been this story going around, and it kind of resurfaces every so often, about this game called Donkey Kong Freedom. And sometimes I will get sent stuff about this. People reach out to me and say, hey, have you heard of this game? Have you heard of Donkey Kong Freedom? You know, you investigate console projects. Have you heard of this one? And today, or I think it was yesterday, you know, just recently, DK Vine, which is a blog that writes about Donkey Kong, released this article on the purported history of this game called Donkey Kong Freedom, which they say was a game in development for the Switch, planned to be for the Switch, in about 2016. And it was in development after Tropical Freeze. Retro was doing something else. So supposedly, Vicarious Visions, hot off the heels of doing Skylanders Superchargers, I think it was called, which was a game that introduced vehicles to the Skylanders games. And you could get Bowser and Donkey Kong playable in that game, in the Wii U version. And according to this account of events, and this is not the first time this has come up, this rumor has been around for about a year now, something like that, maybe a year or two. According to this story, this was in development at Vicarious Visions around the time of the Skylanders Superchargers thing. And, you know, they did a bit of Donkey Kong in that game. And supposedly Nintendo had, you know, given them the go-ahead to do a new 3D Donkey Kong game. If I am remembering this article correct, which I just skimmed before. But, you know, I felt like I didn't need to go in depth with it because I kind of heard all this before. None of this stuff, from what I can remember, is new. I've heard all this before. And I think we might have even talked about it at some point. I think I'm going to investigate this and see what I can find out. Because to give you my honest thoughts, I find this whole story from DK Vine and anyone else pushing this to be highly suspicious. I really am not buying it, to be quite honest with you. So let's get into what this article claims. They claim that it was in development in around 2016, around then. And it was cancelled when the two brothers that ran the company, I can't remember, the Baller Brothers, something like that, the co-founders of Vicarious Visions, they left in 2016. Some years later, of course, you know, you guys know that they made the Tony Hawk game, they made Crash and all that, and then they got kind of closed down and folded into Blizzard to do Diablo ports or something. Or remasters, I can't remember. But anyway, this article claims that when the co-founders left the company, the project was cancelled. And there's a bunch of details in here, such as Miyamoto overseeing the project and having things to say about things like Donkey Kong's feet. You know, there's some peculiar details in here going over it. And it's all a lot to take in and quite hard to believe, to be honest with you. Like, at the moment, reading over this, I'm not 100% sure, but I have to say I'm probably 90% sure this isn't real. I don't think any of this is true. Nothing about it rings true to me at all. You guys may remember this or not, but I was pretty tight with Vicarious Visions back then. I reported on the existence of Skylanders Superchargers before it came out. I knew that Skylanders 7 was cancelled when it was. which I think was in development at Vicarious Visions and Toys for Bob. And so there was a few years when I knew everything that that company was doing. I knew a lot of Activision stuff. I knew what everyone was doing. I knew about Crash. I knew about Tony Hawk when that got announced. Before that got announced, I mean. And I knew about Spyro at Toys for Bob as well, because I talked about that too. Now, there's a lot to kind of go over here, and I don't think I will here. I might just do a video on this at some point, you know, maybe for Digital Gaming or something. But I just don't believe this. Nothing about it seems to be correct to me. I've never heard about this from anyone at Vicarious Visions. They're saying that the co-founders of the company were overseeing this and Nintendo was closely involved. And then they say that when it was cancelled because Nintendo and Activision just kind of mutually agreed to disband it. And Nintendo said that they would move the project to their team in Kyoto. And none of that rings true at all. Like, they would have just started it all over again. They would have moved it. I think that's either a mischaracterization or it's completely wrong. So none of this seems correct to me. It reads like fan fiction. There's a lot of kind of weirdness surrounding this whole Donkey Kong Freedom thing. Because I know for a fact there was some guy going around a couple of years ago, right? Under different aliases. And he would go to different game journalists. And he tried to sell them on the idea of this project's existence. He used to say, oh, this is a cancelled project. He used to be at Vicarious Visions and all that sort of thing. And it's all very easy to say that. Because the company isn't around anymore. Nobody from there is going to come out and say this isn't real. Unless somebody goes and tracks those people down. And so I think I quite want to do that. Because this whole thing is getting on my wick, to be quite honest. This comes up every so often. And every so often I'm asked about it. And so I think someone just needs to put this whole thing to bed. Like, is it real? Is it not? I'm leaning heavily towards no. I'm obviously open to the idea that there could be something. But I doubt this was ever more than a pitch, if it existed at all. And I'm leaning towards none of this is real right now. I think maybe at the very most they had a conversation with Nintendo about doing more Donkey Kong. But I just don't really believe it. I just don't. There's no concept art. There's no mention of this project on a resume. And from the sounds of it, this was an actual pre-production. This wasn't just like a pitch. This wasn't just an idea on a napkin or some early idea they had. This was an actual thing in production or pre-production. But there's no proof of it. There's no named developers. There's no concept art. There's no mention of it on a resume or a portfolio or anything. There's no allusion to it publicly from a developer. There's no evidence other than this one guy's word that he's spoken to developers. Some guy who all he tweets about is this project says it's real. And so this just gives me flashbacks to when, like, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a time when this guy just made up this Sonic game that was in development for the Wii U and a bunch of journalists believed it, and it turned out he had just made it up. This is what this feels like to me, is another one of those things. And so I'm going to delve into this a little bit and I'll tell you guys what I come up with. Because right now I just don't buy this at all. This is all highly sus to me. And as I said, there was somebody reaching out to different journalists, and I'm not going to say who this was, because to be honest, I can't even remember their username off the top of my head. But there was a guy who would go around and say to different journalists and insiders and people, have you heard about Donkey Kong Freedom? It was this and it was that. Why don't you report on it? And to me, this feels like they were trying to gaslight journalists. There's no evidence, no proof of this at all. And this feels like another Donkey Kong, another Star Fox Grand Prix situation, where there might have been like a tiny crumb of truth to some of that, but by and large, this was made up just to fuck with people. This is what it feels like to me. So again, I'm going to look into this. I'm going to try and put aside some time talk to some developers, people who worked on stuff like Skylanders, and if I can talk to enough people, I will make a video. Because I just don't think that this is real. I don't. So, yeah, it's maybe too late to say definitively either way, but I heavily lean no. I've gone over all this before. None of the details sound real to me. It sounds like fan fiction. So that's my verdict on that so far at the minute. The one other thing I want to talk about for now is the game explained situation. So I don't have a ton to say about this, to be completely honest with you. But I do want to talk about it because I think it's important and it gets at something that I've been talking about quite a lot lately, which is the way that people in the games media and people in these kind of online YouTube news groups and that type of thing are treated. So you may be aware of what happened at Game Explain a couple of years ago. What happened was they suffered this exodus where a bunch of their people left, some big names, Steve, John Cartwright, Ash, I think, was one of the other people. And they all alleged some pretty bad treatment took place, particularly related to Andre, the founder of the company. John and the others said that, you know, they were overworked, underpaid, undervalued. And now a new person has come forward who's just left, Jake, who's one of their most prominent newer members, who was, you know, as I understand it, was very well liked. People enjoyed what he was doing on the channel and liked him a lot. He's saying that he experienced the exact same treatment, stuff that we've heard all before. He says he was overworked, underpaid, didn't feel like Andre valued his contributions enough and just wanted to keep pushing him to do more and not really valuing him as an employee and as a person. And Andre, again, has come out with another response and he says basically that it was a misunderstanding. That's how he kind of characterizes it. It's like, oh, I didn't mean for that to happen, that type of thing. It's like, I saw that and that made me want to talk about this. And then I start to hear more things behind the scenes, some of which I can't really talk about. But knowing what I know now and reading Andre's response and hearing what I've heard over the years about this company, I think, to be honest, Andre is full of shit. I think he's completely mischaracterizing what Jake said and what happened. And again, there's some stuff I got to talk about. But if anyone is thinking of giving Andre the benefit of the doubt here yet again, which some people are, I would strongly advise against that because he's lying. And that's all there is to it. It's extremely disappointing, but that is the case. And it wouldn't surprise me if in the future more people leave under similar circumstances as, you know, to what has happened here and in the past at Game Explain. Game Explain operates in the same way that a lot of YouTube channels like this do. They are content mills. They're like digital sweatshops. And people in this sector deserve better. And, you know, frankly, good on Jake and anyone else who's spoken out for doing so and standing up to them. We need more of that. That's good. Because it's just not okay. And I feel like, you know, if you don't speak out, you are to an extent enabling them. And this recent turn of events dispels this narrative that Game Explain has changed, because it hasn't. I think those same problems are still there. I would imagine in the future we'll hear more about that from other people, is what I think will happen. The way that Andre treats them has not improved, and I just think he is just that person. This is just who he is. And when someone shows you who they are, you should believe them. That's my opinion on this. I don't think Andre gives a shit about this. He is about finding people to make him a lot of money. And at the end of the day, that's just who he is. He is a capitalist first. He doesn't really care about video games and making this stuff for the sake of it. There's no passion in it for him. I think it is just about how can I use these people to create this YouTube channel and make as much as I can and feed my ego. That's really what I think is going on here. He is like the fucking Vince McMahon of YouTube fucking gaming sweatshop content mills, you know? And I think he's full of shit, you know? Each time this happens, he comes out with this half-hearted response. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry that you felt that way. It's not really like that. It's not really my fault. I'm sorry you feel bad. It doesn't ring true at all to me anymore. And the fact that this keeps happening is unacceptable. And, you know, I'm not going to encourage people either way to support or not support Game Explain, but it's just disappointing. And I hope that there are some consequences for Andre. I hope that this gives the other people there some more leverage because they know they can come forward and continue to damage the reputation of the channel, which is what should happen if he doesn't improve, but didn't last time, so why would he? And yeah, I'm just very disappointed in this, and I hope that the people there find their way out or things improve, but I'm doubtful of that because I just think this is who Andre is. Don't think he cares. I think if he did care, he would have had a lot of introspection after all those people left and said what they said. But instead, I think he thinks he can weather this. He can weather this storm. He can ride it out and just keep doing what he was doing before. Maybe dial it down a little bit, but in general, the same treatment. Paying your workers not very much, mistreating them, pushing them as far as they'll go until they crack. This is not on. It's not okay. But he gets to continue that because I don't think he sees any repercussions in terms of his financials and all that. So it's a shame, but there it is. That's what's happening with Game Explain. And incidentally, while I've been recording this, the state of play has been on. I've been kind of skimming it as I've been talking to you guys. And I see the Sonic Shadow Generations, whatever the hell that is. Yeah, it looks kind of interesting. I guess I'll talk about this. I really hope that this plays more like Generations than it does the cyberspace levels from Sonic Frontiers, which I just thought was terrible. I think there's a reason why those weren't obligatory in the game, because they're not very good. But yeah, this does look kind of cool. I like the idea of there being another game where you play as Shadow. I like the idea of his homing attack being replaced by Chaos Control. That's kind of cool, because you don't normally get to use that during regular gameplay. And the game looks pretty. I did not personally need a remaster of Generations, if I'm being completely honest with you. But the idea of there being a better version of Generations with new content is quite appealing. I hope that some of that content, the new stuff, is in the just standard regular campaign of I hope it's not just we've bolted on a thing in the way that they did with Super Mario 3D World, when they re-released that and they added Bowser's Fury, because that's what this feels like to me. It feels like an attempt to replicate that, but by bolting a Shadow add-on, because they know the Sonic movies come out, they got Sonic Prime where Shadow is quite prominent. They want to do more things to emphasize that dynamic and bring Shadow more into the spotlight for that. So, yeah. I do think it's interesting that, yeah, you're seemingly fighting Black Doom and G-Wen and the Bio Lizard is there, of course, at the end there. This feels like, to me, it's an attempt to get something out there in time for the next Sonic movie. And it's an attempt to cash in on that to some degree, and kind of the growing popularity of Shadow. He's going to explode, I imagine, when that film comes out. And this will be something they can point to say, hey, we have a modern Sonic game with Shadow. But at this rate, I kind of expect Shadow to also be playable in whatever future next Sonic game they do. So there you go. I'm excited to see how in-depth this is, how long this is. And honestly, if it does play like Generations, if it's just more Generations with a new character, that's pretty sick. I'm kind of into that. But yes, we shall see. I'm curious to see if it does it slot into the story of Sonic Generations, or is it entirely separate? Because the trailer doesn't make that clear at all. It kind of seems like Shadow's running around doing his own thing. So I don't know what to say there, but this does look interesting. It does look cool. Sonic Generations for me is one of the best 3D Sonic games. It's certainly better than Frontiers or Forces, I think was the one before that. So I'll take what I can get, I think. And if it's a return to kind of the boost formula of, in particular, Generations and Colors, I will take that over what they're doing with Frontiers, because I did not like that DLC. I didn't like Sonic Superstars. And yeah, go back to that and squeeze more juice out of that, out of Generations, if that's what you've got to do to make something decent. And maybe I'll consider buying it. I really hope this isn't a full price game. I'm guessing it might well be, or we'll see. But hopefully it's better than what they did with Colors Ultimate, because I remember that being a right mess when that came out and everything. I will say, other than this, that's really the only thing that I want to comment on from that state of play, to be honest. I never really have much to say about them. They're never really that interesting. And there's Until Dawn, that's cool. I would like to play that. That was rumored for a while. And Death Stranding looks cool, but I've not played the first one. Maybe at some point I will, before this new one comes out. So there's a lot coming out this year that I'm interested in. But I'm really just waiting on Nintendo to kind of lay out the air and say what they've got cooking. We know, obviously, they've got Paper Mario, they've got Princess Peach, so and Mario Donkey Kong, that comes out soon. So they are cooking some good stuff. They just put out another code, Recollection. But the game I've been playing just today, actually, I'm not that far into it, but I did want to talk about it just briefly, is Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. And I would highly encourage anyone listening who's into Metroidvanias and that type of thing to give this game a shot and to pick it up. So I'm not that far into it. I did play the demo prior to getting the game, but I would actually recommend not doing that, not playing the demo. The demo isn't bad, but I think the actual intro in the game is far superior to the one in the demo. The one in the demo kind of begins like shortly into the game. And the one in the real game, I think, is what they should have started with. Because I think it serves as a much better intro to what's going on. The game launches you, in the full game, into just this big battle that's really exciting and well presented. And it sets up the characters really well. And you get this fun first boss. And it all does a very good job of establishing the mechanics, like the dodge and the parry. And the movement in this game feels fantastic. It's slick, it's responsive, it's quick. The slide dodge that you do in the game to avoid attacks feels like it owes something to modern Metroid like Dread, as does the parry, in fact, because you do that in Metroid as well, of course. Yes, the game definitely feels like it owes something to Metroid Dread, but it is doing its own thing, and sliding out of the way of danger just before an attack, or parrying enemies at just the right time, it feels like it makes a lot of sense in a game where your main weapons are swords. But so far, I'm just having a great time with it. The movements, zipping through the environment, fighting the enemies, the combat, each aspect of it, to me, feels great. And I actually really dig the characters and the art style. The graphics are not really, I think, great. They are fine, they're serviceable, but the visual design, I think, the way the characters are designed and everything, that does carry it to a degree for me. So despite it not being that detailed, the graphics aren't that impressive, it does look like a game that could easily run on, you know, if you told me this was a Switch game, I'm playing this on PS5, if you told me this was built for the ground up on the Switch, I would have believed you and thought, Well, there are better looking Switch games in this, frankly, which there are. It doesn't look as good as Dread or something like that. But that aside, everything about it, I'm really liking it so far, and I'm kind of early, maybe an hour or two in, but even that was enough for me to go, wow, this feels great. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying exploring the world and getting new abilities and everything, and I'm digging these characters. It's interesting how it's a prequel to Prince of Persia, the other games, as I understand it. It's been a long time since we've had a new one of those, but you are not playing as the prince in this game. The prince is kind of a character that you are rescuing, and that subversion's kind of interesting. I'm kind of thinking, like, are we going to get to play as him at some point in the story, or is that going to be the setup for the next game or something? I don't know, but so far, I dig it a lot, and I would recommend it. I would recommend everyone try it, but buy the game. Don't play the demo, I think. That's my hot take. I think I saw a lot of people love the demo. But, yeah, I'm just loving the way it feels moving through the environment, the combat, how you can juggle people into the air like Devil May Cry and kick people into the air and against walls and that type of thing feels, like, weighty and satisfying and snappy. So I'm digging it a lot. And I am going to have to play a lot more of this, I think. This seems like really a Liam game. This is extremely my shape. Okay, so with that said, I think that's everything I've got to talk about today. If there's anything, any questions you guys have, please leave them in the comments below, and I will be happy to address them on the next episode. I imagine coming in a week or so, something like that, because there's going to be more I want to talk to you guys about. But the next episode of Off the Record, I imagine, will be towards the start of February, I'm guessing. But yeah, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and gals, and non-binary pals, if we have any listening. So yeah, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Thank you again for your support. And especially shout out to our gold tier and up backers on Patreon. You know, up your pledge if you want to get your name read out at the end of each show or at the start. Shout out to Don Koopman, Eric Schuster, Jack Craig, Chrissy Chu, Merovigium, Netro, Shaunik, Centinator of Team Harahi, Says the Cube, Shane Gale, Star K, and Stuart Radley. Okay, everyone, let me know your thoughts on today's topics, and I will see you again soon. And vote on the poll if you haven't already. That's important. Need to get your votes in so we know the next video that I'm doing. Okay, that's enough though. Goodbye, and have a good one.